Bible reading today is Ephesians chapter 2, starting from verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Therefore, remember that formerly, you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law and its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who are far away, and peace to those who are near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling which God lives by his Spirit.
Thanks, Denali. Please keep that Bible reading open in front of you. Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all. Allow me to pray before we get into God's word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we've just sung, Lord, great is your faithfulness forever and ever. And Lord, we are so thankful that you are a faithful God in every season. So Father, this morning we pray as we spend some time thinking about your word, may your spirit work in our hearts. Opening our eyes to see Jesus, to see what the cross has achieved for us. And also, Lord, that we might take steps to live lives that honors you. And we ask this, Father, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you were here last week, we started a sermon series from the book or the letter that Paul wrote to the Ephesian church. We are tracing the theme of church from this letter. The first two chapters in this letter, Paul talks about the identity of the church, who we are in Christ. In chapter 1, as we saw last week, we are a blessed church. We are a group of people chosen by God, redeemed by Jesus, sealed for God's glory, sealed in the Spirit for God's glory. The second half of chapter 1, we saw Paul then prays for his readers that the church might get this, right? That God might open our spiritual, our eyes of our heart to see this marvelous work, the work of God in Christ Jesus, to adopt us as his children, to be holy and blameless in his sight. Now in chapter 2, which we read today, Paul develops this further and adds two more words to our vocabulary: resurrection and reconciliation, resurrected and reconciled. The church is a group of people who are resurrected and also reconciled in Jesus. Now often people who have gone through a weight loss journey, or maybe a backyard makeover, maybe a kitchen makeover, have these before and after photos, right? Like you kind of want to show the difference that had happened over time as these makeovers are done. The chapter that we read this morning has a similar kind of a sense, isn't it? Paul gives us two sets of before and after pictures. Who we were before and after the cross. Who we were before and after the cross of Jesus. So that's what we're going to think about this morning. So let's have the very first word. Let's look at the very first word, resurrected in Jesus. And here we have the first set of pictures, right? Our spiritual condition before and after the cross, verses 1 to 10. Now, I won't go into a lot of details of this picture because we talked about it last week. But verse 1 to 3 is like a doctor's diagnosis, isn't it? Like you go to the doctor and then he's sitting there and he's looking at all your reports. And then he kind of scratches his head and he says, "Oh, brother, I've got good news and I have bad news for you. But let me tell you the bad news first." Verses 1 to 3. The way you're living, sinful and disobedient. Who you are following the ways of this world and the devil. What you desire and crave, and where you're heading in life, all points to this terrible fact that you are dead spiritually. And there's nothing you and I can do about it. And the sad reality is anyone who hasn't believed in Jesus, this is the picture, isn't it? Physically alive, kicking and screaming, enjoying life, but spiritually dead. Disconnected from God, heading to eternal destruction. Now this man who's heard this diagnosis and is just with a confused face, and he must be asking the doctor again, "Now, if this is the bad news, I mean, if I'm dead, what good news possibly there can be?" Right? And the doctor leans backwards and then he with a smile. And verse 4 to 10, he says, but God who loves you so much, who's rich in mercy, God who is all-powerful, has made us alive, made you alive in Christ Jesus. He has raised you back to life while you were still dead. He has breathed new life into you. And instead of spending eternity in hell, God, in his mercy, has now seated you in heaven with Christ Jesus. How could this be? You didn't do it. I couldn't do it. God did it, Paul says, when you believed in Jesus. It is a gift of God, this resurrected life. The way to be saved, the way to have eternal life, the way to have life, the way to be resurrected is not working hard, not doing more good works, not doing all the pujas that you have to do, or sacrifice, or being more religious, but by trusting in Jesus, what He has done, and receiving the gift that He has given. And this is who we are, if you have believed in Jesus this morning. A group of resurrected people. God has given us new life, resurrected life. So Paul says, verse 10, go and live this new life. Go and live the life that God had planned for you from before time began when He chose you. Go and live this new life. Do good works. You see, God doesn't save us because of our good works, but God frees us and saves us. He enables us to do good works. If you are a believer, if you have believed in Jesus, don't waste your life. Don't go back to the old life. Keep doing the good things as you have the opportunity. Serve in the church. Pray. Read your Bibles. Feed the hungry. Go to charities or give to charities. Love your neighbor. Love your enemies. Offer hospitality. Be generous. Visit the sick. Write to the prisoners, talk to the homeless, be nice to your work colleagues, do your work, your studies to the best of your abilities, because my friends, you and I have been given new life, brand new lives, resurrected lives. So let us live the life that God has called us to live. Now we come to the second word this morning. Reconciled in Jesus. This is the time we're going to spend a bit more this morning. In these verses, Paul is talking to the Gentiles in the church, the non-Jewish, the non-Jews by birth. People like you and me. Paul reminds them that once upon a time, that they couldn't be part of the church, the God's people. They were outside, they were far away. Now, as I read verses 11 and 12 in chapter 2, the scene that comes to my mind is a grumpy immigration officer at an airport, right? And as you walk up to him, he asks, "Can I have your documents?" And then he carefully assesses them. And as he goes through the list, he says, "Circumcision? No. Jesus? No. Citizenship in Israel? No. Covenants? No. Promises? No. God? No. Hope? No. I'm sorry, entry denied." See, for the first century Christians, Gentiles, the non-Jewish people, this was a great problem. This was a great barrier. They didn't have access to God's people or God's temple. The doors were closed and shut and locked. Verse 13, we are told, we were far away. There's this great distance between the Gentiles and the Jews. They were enemies. They didn't get along. There was this deep hostility. There's a wall separating us and them. Verse 14, a barrier, dividing wall of hostility. Verse 16, deep hostility. Now this was our status, right? We didn't have any reason, any qualification to be part of God's people, God's chosen people. But Paul says, God has done something amazing. Verse 13, now in Jesus, you who were once far away has been brought near by the blood of Christ Jesus. He has brought us, the non-Jews, those who are far away, outside, strangers, foreigners, in to his community. We have not only been reconciled with God by the blood of Jesus, we have been reconciled to one another through the blood of Jesus. How? Verse 14, Jesus has become our peace, who has made the two one, destroying the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. Did you see that? He destroyed the wall, the barrier that was dividing, separating people. And how did he do that? By setting aside or getting rid of that barrier in his flesh. What was this barrier he's talking about? The law, isn't it? In the Old Testament, God gave the law to the people of Israel through Moses to show what a holy people were to be. To show them the standards that they were expected to live as God's people. And as we read through the Bible, we see God never intended to make us holy by obeying a set of rules, because it cannot happen. The law instead shows us how far behind we fall to live up to God's standards. The law was given to show us that we need God's grace. That we need to trust in God. But to the Jews, the law had become a point of boasting, a point of pride, a reason to look down upon people. And the law became a barrier, a dividing wall, a reason for hostility, exclusion. It kept the Gentiles away from God and God's people. But Jesus, Paul says, destroyed the barrier by his blood. When Jesus died on that cross, he fulfilled all types and shadows of the Old Testament law, right? Now people are accepted into God's presence because not because they're Jews or they have obeyed a set of rules, but because of their faith in Jesus. Verse 16, we are all reconciled in Jesus to God. Verse 17, we all have peace with God through Jesus. Verse 18, through Jesus, we all have access, one access to the Father by one Spirit. So Paul can tell the Galatian church, now there's neither Jew nor Gentile. Neither slave nor free, nor there is male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, if you believed in Jesus, then you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. You see, God hasn't removed the human differences, right? Men remain men, and women remain women, and Jews are still Jews, and Gentiles are still Gentiles, but inequality before God is abolished. The ground around the cross is level, wall-less. We were alienated, excluded from being his people, but by his death, Christ Jesus has removed the dividing wall, the law, and he has reconciled us to himself and also to one another. So Paul says in verses 19 to 22, I'm not going to read through all the verses. He says, we have become fellow citizens with God's people. God is the king of anyone who believes in Jesus. We are not rootless or stateless. We have become one people, members of God's family. Every believer is a family member, a brother and a sister in Christ. And this is a very intimate picture, isn't it? And then Paul says, you are a holy temple where God dwells in. The temple that Paul has in mind is not a building or not a shrine with bricks and mortar. It is an international community of both Jews and Gentiles, people from different nations coming together. And God's desire is that people in the world may find Him in and through His people, the church. This is who we are, reconciled to God and reconciled to one another. Wall-less. And then we look around. I have a picture of all of us. Not all of us, some of us. You don't see walls here, do you? This is who we are. God has removed the dividing walls. The reason why we are here from different nations, backgrounds, different generations, and we are worshiping together is because Jesus has destroyed the dividing walls. We all have access to God through Jesus. So, friends, we must celebrate the fact that we are an international church. We must celebrate that we are an intergenerational church. And if God has destroyed dividing walls, then we must be careful not to create or erect walls between us. Because it is easy to do that, right? We must resist the temptation to exclude people based on our skin color or a race or nationality or tribe. We should not create divisions according to the work we do or where we studied or what we have and have not according to our qualifications. We must be mindful of the barriers that we can create because of our personal animosities, by lack of humility, jealousy, prejudice, and an unforgiving spirit. And we must work hard to overcome these barriers and be a welcoming church. And we are a welcoming church. And here are some things that we do here at our church, and we do well. We have spent a lot of money fixing a lift outside so that we can welcome people who have mobility issues. And if you have noticed, most of our growth groups are mixed groups. They are not age or gender specific. We don't have a young adults group and a seniors group. For a while, we have been using Chinese translations on the screen of our Bible readings. And where possible, we try to have language-specific Bible study groups. The reason why we organize hospitality Sundays and church lunches and church picnics is that we want to encourage unity amongst diversity. So when you're able to, please do take part in them. Don't miss them. We encourage people from different ages to serve in the church. Use your gifts in the church. And if you have been part of this church for the past year or two, you would know that we have identified a priority. Unity in Christ. This is something that we want to, one of the areas that we want to focus on as God's people. That we are a church that reflects the cultures in our community that are united in Christ. But those things those are the things that we do as a church. But what about us personally? What can we do personally to include people? What can I do personally to to show God's love, that God has destroyed barriers. What can I do to connect with people who may be not like me, who may not drink the same coffee as I do, or who may eat different foods, or who may have different interests? Maybe we can invite people home for a morning tea or a meal. Meet to read the Bible. Learn about another culture. A culture of someone that is in the church that you don't know much about. Now, living in a diverse community, it is easy that time to time we will hurt people. We will annoy each other, right? We will rub the wrong way. And when we do have grudges between each other, we must try to resolve them quickly. Because, see, the longer we keep them going, the higher the walls that we build between each other. Be a peacemaker. Be a peacekeeper. Why? God has included us. He has reconciled us. And we must do the same as our Heavenly Father, does that. And when we do, you know what? We get to see, we get to show the power of the gospel, isn't it? We get to show the power of the gospel. When people are working together, united, when people are serving together from different nations, backgrounds and cultures and generations, we show the watching world that the gospel, the cross, has destroyed barriers. That He has reconciled us to Himself and to one another. So this morning, let us rejoice. Let us rejoice in what the cross has done. Before we were spiritually dead, and now we are alive, resurrected. Before we were separated, far away, but now we are reconciled in Jesus. Isn't that a beautiful picture of who we are in Christ? Something we can rejoice and be thankful for, and something that we should live up to. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so glad that this morning we are here. We are here not because we've done something, not because we have achieved something, but because Jesus has destroyed the barrier between us and you. Jesus has destroyed the barrier between one another. Father, help us not to create any barriers between you and us or between one another. Forgive us when we have done that. Lord, help us to continue to love and serve you and your people now and forever. And as we do, may your love and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit remain with us now and forever. Amen.